Therefore we ought
to give the more earnest heed to things that which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by the angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing with him witness, both with signs and wonders and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. And you may be seated tonight. I won't keep you standing for very much longer like I did last time. But my title of my message tonight is The Warning Signs. And, you know, I had, when I was preparing for this, I had already something already come up with and had it already down. And one night at church, God laid this on my heart that I needed to write this down and preach it tonight. So here we are. It was kind of wasn't a last-minute thing, but it was not what I was looking for and what I had thought. But we're going to be trusting in God here tonight. And, you know, if we begin to look at the meaning of the word warning, it's a statement or event that indicates a possible or impending danger, problem, or other unpleasant situations. And, you know, and Brother Shelton can relate to this. When I went to welding school, if you wasn't careful on what you were doing, and as far as if you got flammable liquids or anything like that, you cannot weld or anything near that. Anything that's going to cause a spark or it will cause an explosion, that is a dangerous situation to be in. And they are pretty pretty apt to tell you that because it can harm you. And, you know, just like many of us, we go through life and God begins to throw situations at us and, well, not God, but the enemy begins to throw situations at us and we begin to, you know, go about our own way and, you know, God throws them warning signs at us. You know, it's up to us to begin to heed to them warning signs. And, you know, how shall we escape it if we neglect so great a salvation? And what does that word neglect mean? And, you know, we begin to put off. We begin to let go of some things that we know we should keep up. You know, when we begin to neglect something, it begins to deteriorate. You know, if we begin to neglect God or begin to neglect our salvation, it's going to begin to deteriorate. We're going to begin to be in the circumstance that, you know, it is not fun to be in. If you begin to neglect God and be out of His will and His spirit, you know, we begin to open up so many more doors that we should not walk through, and so many more situations that and trials that was not intended for us, but we begin to open that door because we begin to neglect the salvation which God gave us on the cross. And if we're not getting into them altars, reading our Bibles, or praying, we're neglecting the salvation. We are neglecting the power given us in Christ. And neglecting your relationship with God doesn't happen all at once. Someone who knows the truth and has been in church for any amount of time is not just going to walk out them doors and say, "I'm done. I don't want nothing more to do with God." You know, it is a continuous thing. I mean, it happens over time. It doesn't happen just at once. And we were watching Pilgrim's Progress, and it just kind of began to click in me when he began to stray off the path, and he began to you know, he'd already come so far, and he'd been warned. A Christian had been warned not to get off the path, not to stray. And, you know, he began to get off the path. It was it was a much easier path, he thought. It was going to be a shortcut to the celestial city. And, you know, we as you begin to read or watch that, it begins to, you begin to see how he goes into the dungeon of despair. And, you know, it didn't look like no way out. And, you know, so many times as human beings, as Christians, we begin to stray off the path. And as we've been warned, if we are in God's word and begin to read and begin to see and seek after what God wants us to do, he is going to begin to show us things and where he's going to begin to lead us. And, you know, and if we are in tune with him, he's going to begin to show us where to go and where not to go. And he's not going to lead us astray. And, you know, as so many times we find ourselves, we begin to walk and it seems like an easier path. It seems like an easier road to go down. And, you know, we begin to stray off the path a little bit. And we find ourselves in despair, in a pit of just hopelessness. And, you know, it was never intended that we were to be there. I mean, we were intended to walk a path. You know, he never said that it was going to be easy, but it was going to be, it would take effort. It is going to take effort to keep on the path. And, you know, so many times as we begin to get off, you know, so many things come at us. And he thought it was easier taking that path and taking the other path, the green grass. And you find out, you know, it was just troubles and sorrows. That was not intended for him. But God had a plan, and he reminded him of something he had already given him. And that began to bring hope, and that began to bring life back into him. And as they begin to escape, you know, with their lives, you know, begin to get back on that path, you know, it just reminded me is when we're down and distraught and the enemy comes at us and we're down in our own mess that we have created. And it is God that begins to breathe life back into us as we begin to worship him, begin to realize that it's not us, it's not our strength, but it was his strength that began to pour us out. And, you know, if we're mindful of them warning signs, we've got to begin to watch and heed for the warning signs. And, you know, I remember a while back, when I was a little younger than this, you know, your parents would tell you, don't do this or don't do that. You could get in trouble or you might get hurt. Don't jump off that. You know, you might break a leg. And, you know, I didn't listen. I never broke anything, but, you know, it hurt. It hurt. And, you know, I didn't heed the warning. And, you know, the instruction, as he likes to say, and heed the instructions of your father. And, you know, if we don't, you know, sometimes it gets us in trouble, most of the time, rather than not. And, you know, too many times we begin to ignore the warning signs that God has placed in our view. And it begins to cost us a whole lot more than what we thought we was going to have to pay. If you are filled with the Holy Ghost, he will begin to check you on your decisions in life. You're tempted to do evil, or the devil begins to tell you lies. The Holy Ghost will begin to check you. Hey, that is not right. Do not listen to that. Do not believe that. But if we do not heed to the warning and begin to fall into sin, we begin to shrug off reading our Bible and praying every day. We begin to get deeper into a deep rut. And if you know anything about ruts or stuck in a rut, you know that most likely you ain't going to get out. You're just going to spin out if you're trying yourself. And I'm reminded when I was younger, I went with my uncle to go help some friends of his out. And they got stuck in a mud pit. And they were out there just running around in their jeeps, and he took his out there, and we ended up getting stuck. And they offered to help, and he's like, no, I can get it out. And he just kept burying it and burying it. And I remember the mud was up to the sides of the doors, and he had a big old Jeep, I mean big old tires on it, and he couldn't get out. He just kept spinning and sinking and sinking, and it ended up taking two vehicles to end up pulling us out before we even got out of there. And, you know, it reminds me, you know, so many times we get stuck in a rut. So many times in our spiritual life we begin to get stuck in life. And, you know, we try to do it on our own. We begin to try to get out of the rut by ourselves, you know. And we can't, not in our strength. It's got to be the strength of God to begin to pull us out. Because the more we begin to struggle and to move, the more we begin to sink and go under. And, you know, so many times I've found myself beginning to sink and go under, and I have to call on the name of Jesus before I do go under. Because it's when I do go under that there is no hope. But I still have hope because I still have breath in my lungs. And I praise God for it. And, you know, so many times when we begin to struggle, we begin to, I know, like, he had messed some stuff up in his vehicle trying to do that. And, you know, begin to, in his own, he thought he could do it with his, in his own strength, his own, he thought his vehicle was strong enough to do it. And it ended up messing some stuff up. You know, and if it is not in our strength, if we try to do it in our strength, we begin to do more damage than good. Even though sometimes we're more prideful, and I know I've been there, and just like, I can do it myself. You know, I can get out of this situation. I put myself in it. I can get out of this. And, you know, and we can't. We've got to begin to lean on a higher power that is stronger than us. And just like the stuck vehicles need help getting out, as we as humans cannot save ourselves from our sin, we'll just dig ourselves deeper if we don't begin to ask Christ Jesus to pull us out of our sin's pit. And you know, there are so many things that came to my mind when we were out there. You know, how many things we're going to tear up or and all that, you know. And it just, and as I was preparing for this, you know, I was kind of thinking, you know, warning signs. You know, you'll get a check engine light on every once in a while in your vehicle, and if you just go in and ignore it, don't change the oil, you're going to end up having to replace something. And the longer you run it without something like oil or something necessary to operate a vehicle, you're going to end up needing a whole new vehicle. And you know, if you begin to run your life without Christ and without the Holy Ghost, you begin to deteriorate yourself, for one. You begin to break down, and you find yourself all in a mess, in a pit that you cannot get out of unless God puts his life back into you. And, you know, so many times I found myself just down and distraught, and you know, that sounds terrible, you know, always down and distraught, no. But you know, I got to lean on a higher power that can pull me out of my pit, out of whatever that is that I am facing that day. And, you know, we're talking about warning signs, and you know, I was thinking, you know, just as a vehicle, I know in some places that you have if there's an accident out on the freeway, some law enforcement will go through and weave through traffic. Just back and forth, you know, to warn them that there is something up ahead. There's been an accident. There's going to be, to just help slow down traffic, to keep from having another accident. And, you know, so many times, if we did not acknowledge that there was an accident or just didn't pay heed or didn't care and just kept on driving through, you know, one, you're going to get pulled over and you're going to get a ticket. But, you know, if we don't heed to the warning signs in our lives and that God has put in front of us, we begin to find that it begins to cost us a whole lot more than we need to pay or want to pay. You know, we may not want to, but we have to because of our decisions. And our decisions will, I forget the word I'm looking for. Will alter what course and what kind of course of action is going to happen. You know, you know, it wasn't their fault or somebody else's fault that you got a speeding ticket. It was you speeding. And, you know, I've been there a lot. And, you know, so many times I find myself like, why did I get that? Why did I do that? You know, and the next thing you know, I'm doing it again. And so... You know, it's by God's strength that he begins to help us through life and through our troubles and trials. And you know, when I was reading this today, actually, I added some more notes in here. And I came across Noah, or not Noah, Noah, Moses, sorry, Moses and the Egyptians and Pharaoh, how he tried to warn them. He warned Pharaoh of what was going to happen if he did not release God's people, you know, and Pharaoh didn't care. He didn't heed to any of the warnings, you know, almighty me. And, you know, so many times you find yourself as almighty me, you know, and we begin to not heed to the warning that God has put out in front of us. And we find ourselves having to face the consequences of it. And, you know, we know the plagues that had covered Egypt in that time because Pharaoh would not let his people go. And, you know, so many times that we find, when I look at this, you know, it took a special person for Moses to go back to Egypt and to even confront Pharaoh. I know it so many times we find ourselves in a mess that we put ourselves in, and we don't want to go back and fix things and try to overcome some things. And as Lucas and we've talked before about having to go back and ask for forgiveness for some people, and you know, I find myself doing that so many times that I don't want to do that because it's embarrassing, for one, to have to go back and admit something, and I've had to do it. And you know, God just kind of smote my heart, you know, because I find myself, I had said something, or if I did something wrong to somebody, and I'd be praying for God to help me do something, you know, help me to breathe life into me, help me to be able to help somebody, you know. And he brings that to my attention that you did somebody wrong. And during the time, you know, all kinds of warning signs were going off. Hey, don't say this, don't do that, you know, that ain't right, you know, that's just going to lead that person into a darker place, that ain't helping them, that is not uplifting them. And you know, I had to go back and I've had to ask for forgiveness. You know, it wasn't fun at all. Definitely not. I'm just thankful for the Lord that he's been with me through that, through situations and trials, you know. And it does my heart good to know that we serve a God that is able to overcome anything that we have in our lives that we begin to put up. We begin to put up walls. I'd written some stuff down in my other some other notes about putting up walls, and so many times we begin to put up walls in our lives and begin to hide things in the corners of our hearts from God, and you know, it begins to harden our hearts, and because we want to reserve that for us. That's for us. That's that pride. This is mine, and I want to keep it. And we begin to ignore the warning signs, and it begins to drag us down even deeper. And so many times we find ourselves walking through life, and we begin to hold back on things, and we begin to see that we're not spiritually where we need to be. And we find ourselves declining even more, and not reading our Bibles, not praying as much, begin to just, how do I put this, a face on in church. And you know, you begin to go through the motions. That's the word I was looking for. You begin to go through the motions, and it just becomes normal. It just becomes, that's just that. You know, I don't want to move. I'm in my position. I don't want to have to do this. I don't want to have to do this. And I'm writing a message I was listening to a couple weeks back with Lucas. He's preaching on getting out of our comfort zones. And you know, and so many times I've had to go back to that and begin to be like, I need to get out of my comfort zone. I've stayed here too long. I've got to begin to move out of my comfort zone. Because of if we stay in our comfort zones, we're not going to get anywhere. We're not going to begin. Yeah, exactly. We're not going to be able to begin to grow. We're not going to be able to begin to move with God. And you know, by faith, being warned of God of things not yet seen, Noah, moved with fear, prepared an ark of the saving of his house, by which he committed the world and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. And if Noah would not have moved with fear after being warned of God, we more than likely would not have heard of Noah and we have got to begin to move with God as he begins to lead us in our day-to-day walk with him. And we have to heed to the warnings that God might continue his grace upon us. And we've got to begin to heed to the warnings. In traffic, if you don't brake, if somebody is braking and if you don't brake, you're going to end up hitting somebody. And it's going to cause damage and going to injure somebody. We've got to begin to heed to the warnings. And just like a man driving down the road and stops at a gas station, asks for directions, and he says he's asking for directions to get somewhere. And somebody tells him that go this way, but watch out, there's a cliff, so you need to take a left. But the man takes a right towards the cliff because he thought it was a shortcut. If we don't heed to people's, to God's instructions, it's only going to lead to our destruction. And I just want to be faithful in my everyday walk, and heed to the warning signs. It is vital to heed to the warning signs. If we do not, it will bring destruction. It will begin. It's not just us that it's going to affect. I've seen so many begin to that I knew growing up with and seen how on fire they were for God. And I look at lives now and they're not what it used to be. And it's sad because if we didn't heed to the warning signs, it's how easily we begin to fall out, begin to fall back. And that's one thing that keeps running through my mind is how do I, as a Christian, begin to reach back out to them people? So many times that I find myself not doing enough to begin to help people. We begin to hold back. We're like, well, I don't want to hurt their feelings. That might not be the time for it. But sometimes I feel God saying, say something, do something, move, and I will bless it. Getting out of my comfort zone to have to try to talk to some people. If we begin to be led of God, he'll begin to lead us how to warn other people to stay away from this and how to warn other people to stay away from danger and don't fall into this temptation. Don't fall into this way of living. I just love the Lord. I'm thankful for what he has done in my heart, in my life. Pastor, I want to turn it back over to you.